And of course, welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, I'll be your host for the next half hour or so, talking to some young Saint Lucians doing amazing things. This afternoon, we're talking to Miss Tanel George. Good afternoon, Tanel. Thank you so much for agreeing to speak with us this afternoon. We have so much things to talk about. I see you're well prepared. You're set looking wicked. Yeah, man, we got so much to talk about. But Tanel, welcome.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
You're a bit low. Let me make sure it's not from my end. Let me put on the volume a little bit from my end. Yeah, make sure you're good. All right. You should be good now. All right. Cool. Tanel, tell us a little bit more about us, about you, for people who may not know who you are.
Okay. Well, I am Tanel. It's pronounced Tanel. A lot of people like to say my name all kind of different ways.
Oh, it's Tanel.
I'm born Saint Lucian, but I've lived in Canada for some time. I'm 35 years old. A lot of people is surprised at my age, but that's my age. I used to live in Canada, like I said. So at a young age, about 10 years old, I went to live in Canada. One of the reasons why was partly because I was a little bit troublesome, you know, young children, you know, already doing bad things. And what do their parents like to do? They like to send them away. Right. And, you know, I think that's something that as Caribbean people, we have a big issue with regards to problem solving and families and resolving issues with families. It's just like they just want to send them off. But anyways, just like not nothing really big, because I was 10, I was 9, what can I really do? But, you know, like skipping assembly, you know, these kind of things. I used to go in the children's bag, maybe take their lunch and things. little things like
that. I love your honesty.
But I mean, you know, everybody does things in life that's good and bad. So there's nobody that is 100% perfect and there's nobody that is 100% bad. So no matter how bad or how wrong you may look at somebody, they do good things and vice versa.
True.
And I think that a lot of people who have done things wrong and they realize it and they grow from it, that's growth. You know, that's life. That's understanding. So it's for you to take what you've learned from and adapt it to your everyday now life.
That's pretty well said. That's well said. Let's talk about while you were in Canada. Was it a big move at 10 years old moving to a metropolitan country coming from
Saint-Germain? It was definitely a big move. I can remember that when I went to Canada, it was August. Now August, you know, Caribbean, like all year round, we have nice warm weather. So Canada is a little bit. Canada has their four seasons, winter, summer, spring, and fall. And when I went in there, it was August. And I stepped outside of the airport, and I was cold.
I'll wait you.
It was there summertime. There was no snow on the ground, hot sun, and I was cold. So that's something, like, I don't really like about Canada. I don't really like cold temperatures. Even AC sometimes, I'm like, oh, my gosh. But Canada, I think that really opened my mind and broadened my mind to a lot of things, to learning people, to learning cultures, to understanding business, customer service, how things work. Because, I mean, that was where I got my first job. I started babysitting when I was, 12, 13 already. I was already babysitting. But I got my real first job in Canada when I was, 18, about there, or even earlier than that, maybe 16, 17, and I was working at a call center where we do surveys and stuff. We talk to people, so it was really highly customer service-based. Mm-hmm. So in Canada, they're very high on customer service. So I understand that a lot. I went to high school in Canada. I graduated high school in Canada. So, I mean, I experienced a lot of things. I just don't like the cold. It's just too cold.
True. But what prompted your move back to St. Lucia? Because, you know, you expect that when people stay up there for such an extended period of time.
More family stuff.
Okay, okay.
So when I came back to St. Lucia, not even like a year or so, my grandmother died.
Oh, okay.
And then my father moved to Canada before me, and then I went to live in Canada with him. Now, when I was younger, I was more like a daddy's girl. I always wanted to be with my daddy, so that was another reason why I wanted to live in Canada, because my father was there. So I kind of feel like I tend to follow him. So it was maybe like a year before I came back, he came back.
Okay.
So like I said, when I came back, my grandmother died, and then maybe like a year or two after that, my father passed as well.
Oh, okay.
And in between there, my grandfather died, his father as well. So, I think that like certain things that you do in life just bring you places where you're supposed to be
right,
to experience certain things. And I think that I needed to come back to basically experience that, because to be honest with you, right now I really miss him, because he is the one I think where I get my creativity from.
Okay.
He is a mason, a builder, a carpenter. He's very good with his hands. He could have built furniture for you. I mean, like a house. He could have just done it for you with his hands. And up to a day like today, I still have a chair of mine that he made for me when I was a little girl at my home. And it's still like sitting in my apartment. It only needs to have a seat. I just need to put the proper seat on it. And hopefully if I have a child one day, well, that will be my child's own.
Yeah.
And
it's very cool to have a family.
I think where I get my creativity from.
And it's very cool to have a family heirloom and something that has, you know, some sentimental value. I like that you brought up, you know, your creative side, which kind of makes a segue right into talking about how you got into business. You the proprietor, owner, creative director, hard worker behind two brands. How did it start? You could start off with either or, whichever one you want.
Anyone?
To.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll go first with Tempted Goddess. Tempted Goddess is my clothing kind of brand. I've always been into fashion. I remember, again, living in Canada, you get more of that broader perspective of fashion shows. I would just sit there and just watch fashion shows on TV, like just watch the girls coming down the runway. And I think that's another reason why I got into modeling as well, which I have done. But it was more when I came back to St. Lucia, because I mean, I like to go out, not to say like I'm a real party girl, but I like to go out and enjoy myself. And when I do, I just like to dress a certain kind of different way. You know, it's not like I like to look any better or any, extravagant than anybody, but I just want to look a little different. So I would always like go to a seamstress to want to get my outfit made, and like I would design it, I will show them how I want it. And on two separate occasions, I wasn't satisfied with the outcome. I wasn't satisfied with the process of how it went, and I just said to myself, you know what, Tanel, just go and learn how to sew. So I went to NELP, I believe, and they have sewing classes at the comprehensive school. So I took beginner and I took intermediate. You know, they teach you the basics, how to sew a skirt, how to sew a bed sheet, a top, how to properly measure, you know, how to do all of these things. But with fashion itself and sewing and learning to and doing certain things, it's more than just learning how to sew. It's a process. You need to understand what you're doing. And like I said, it's a process, it's a step. So it's not just like people may think that sewing or fashion design is just a sewing machine and just sewing fabric together. It's way more than that. You understand? You need to you need to break it down. You need to design your outfit. You need to think of your fabrics. You need to think of if these fabrics go together, your threads, your accessories, your buttons, your belts, your finishes, all of these things come together when it comes to fashion design. So that's basically like where that came from. It was more just me wanting outfits and it not being done for myself properly in the way that I wanted it. So I went and figured out how to do it myself. So now when I go out like certain places, I just like to make my own outfit. Just, you know, it just feel different. Just because, I mean, like, you go to the speculators or you, what, how they say it, you go to the stores and, like, honestly, you just see the same thing and I'm tired of it. It's like, it's just boring. And if sometimes if I do buy an outfit, I will cut it up. I will do something to it. I will change it up a little bit just to make it different.
And to personalize it, yeah.
So, yeah, that's where the fashion thing came from. And then with that, I did 2 years of the Courts Fashionista competition.
Right.
Both years I came third. And, I was really excited to do a year, and they actually didn't do it, and I was very disappointed. I think that was the year before COVID broke. I mean, I got all my fabric. I mean, like, I was... Because I'm... For myself, I like to do casual outfits, but for my brand, I more like to do evening wear, wedding gowns, elegant wear, these kind of things. So I was really looking forward to making this like crazy kind of like wedding dress, and I was kind of disappointed that it didn't happen. But I'm still wanting to make that dress happen at some point, so
just
that's something I'm not working
just
on.
Do it, yeah, just do it,
yeah.
Let's talk about the Courts Fashionista competition. Like you said, competing 2 years and coming third, did that open any new avenues for you, or was it just a good experience to get into the actual competing side of the fashion industry, which is not so big in the Caribbean?
It didn't necessarily open any new doors for me, because nothing really happened after that with that event or dress. But I do think that it opened my mind more to want to do more, sew more in that style and do more gowns and dresses and stuff like that.
What has been some of the, for that particular brand, what has been... your most notable experience, as a fashion designer, sewer, seamstress? I don't even know which one to say it is.
Well, like I said, so far, I think it would have to be the Courts competition, because the very first Courts competition that I did, that was the very first time that I did a full gown. Like, I've done skirts before, I've done 1-2 tops before, but I've never done a complete dress before. So that was a very big accomplishment for me. And the type of dress it was and, like, the way it all came out, like, I was very proud of myself, even though I placed and I didn't win. Like, it was still a big accomplishment for me.
True. Now, let's move on to your second brand, because, you know, you're very innovative. Let me allow you to introduce that one and how it came about.
Okay, so my second brand is called Mist. Basically, Mist, I made it as... Well, Mist, if you think of the word Mist, it represents vapor, right? So I picked that name because my brand is about... smoking products and accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people, when they hear about smoking, like it's already like a negative
connotation
thing to people, right? So it's really a kind of unique thing that not everybody will gravitate to. However, what I do is both art. And there's more that I can do that's more than just smoking products and accessories. Mm-hmm. However, that's how I started my business. I am a smoker. I will say that I do indulge in marijuana. A lot of people, like I said, don't like it or may look at me a kind of a way, but that's me. I mean, I'm not going to hide it.
Yeah. It's...
So I make rolling trays. So basically you have a tray, you can use it to roll your marijuana or whatever it is that you smoke on the tray. I have ashtrays. And another reason why I started this business, okay, let's go back. Living in Canada, that was where I smoked the first time with my best friend. I think I was like 16 at the time. And it was just once. Like, we just did it once and I was like, I out of my mind. But there was where I start to see different smoking products and accessories. You know, like crazy lighters, like ashtrays, like, you know, so many different things that you can use to accessorize your indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of like lingered with me. And when I came back to St. Lucia, I did register the business since, I believe, 2014. But it was only when COVID hit, actually, that I launched the business. So, you know, like when people say when one door closes, another one opens, you know, when people are under pressure, sometimes they think of a lot more than when they're just calm. So like I said, I make rolling trays and ashtrays. This is my rolling tray for my business that I branded myself. Okay. It's flat. Like I said, you can use it to basically roll anything that you would like. But yeah. I do have coasters, wine coasters. I have wine trays, makeup trays. So there's more that I can do, more than just the rolling trays. And then again, that comes pulls in my creativity. I do graphic design as well. So all that kind of just
ties in
together with both businesses.
Now let's talk about the tray business. What kind of material do you use, and what are some of the challenges that you're faced with when dealing with that particular product?
Okay, well, the material that I use is epoxy. There is another material that I am trying to get, but it's kind of difficult to get because it's not like so available like on Amazon and stuff like that, and you can only buy it in the UK. The epoxy, it's not difficult to get. You can get it on Amazon. The thing about epoxy is it's tedious and it's so delicate. Like you need to take your time with it, because any kind of mismeasurement, the item will not cure properly. Sometimes it will be bendy, it will be too soft, it might be sticky. The coloring, the dyes, all of these things change the temperature. All of these things are things that affect the epoxy when working with them. Materials, gloves, protecting your skin and stuff like that, because if this drops on your skin, it can actually burn, because it's a chemical. It's making a chemical reaction. It right. actually gets very, very hot. So you cannot even touch it while it's curing, because it'll actually burn you. So there is a lot of things that you need to be careful with when you're working with it. I actually did like a lot of research before I started doing it. I didn't just go and buy epoxy and just said, yeah, I'm doing epoxy. I did a lot of research. I researched brands, how to properly mix it. You know, you can get air bubbles, how to get out air bubbles. Sometimes you're not even getting all of the air bubbles out. There are so many different ways you can use it. You can use a pressure cooker. You can...
Seriously?
Pressure pot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to make it cure faster.
Okay.
You can use a mixer, a professional mixer. Sometimes if you use that, it might not mix it properly. So there's... there's a lot of things you need to be aware of when you're working with epoxy. So research. If you want to start things, just do a lot of research before you actually start doing something like that.
Now, specifically for that particular brand, your Miss brand, what is there a market for the products, even if it's just the smoking paraphernalia? Or are people more concerned of getting more customized stuff, like their coasters, their makeup holders, stuff like that?
Well, it's a bit of both. Some stuff I will make on my own, and some people will buy it. But majority of my things are custom made. Usually I would just, the customer will let me know they want a certain thing, and I will more likely want your item customized.
Okay.
Just because I just like to be different. I do not want you having the exact same item as everybody else. It's just so you have your own unique piece of mist, basically.
I like that, a piece of mist. Any plans of probably opening a store, or are you just, you know, just floating with the wind for now and just letting see what happens?
I mean, yeah, I would love to open a store and maybe hopefully have kind of like a mix and match of the two.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's not in the, like, right now, but hopefully sometime in the future, yes, I would love to have a store.
True, that's amazing. Now, of course, we're almost coming up to the end of the interview already, believe it or not. Let's talk about, and you said it a little bit of a little bit earlier on about doing your research before you go into a particular industry or go into a particular business. Young people are listening, and we have to motivate them. The whole point of the program is to, you know, encourage people to pursue entrepreneurship. What advice would you give, especially from your own experience? What did you do wrong? How were you able to correct it? I know I'm asking so many questions in one, but I know that you're able to answer.
I know, I get it. First, I would say I wouldn't say just do it, but before you just do it, think about it, right? Find something that you love. Find something that you're interested in and you're passionate about. Because if you do that, then sometimes it will not even feel like work to you. It'll just be like something that you do naturally, and you can make a career out of it. You can make a career out of a hobby. And a lot of people say that you can't, but I think that you can, right? It's just all how you manage and run your business and yourself. Difficulties. Another tip I would say, finances. Learn to manage your money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to start businesses because they think that it will make them a lot of money and they become rich and all of these things. But it's very difficult to run and manage a business by yourself, to do everything. It's like you're the financer, you're the marketer, you're the HR, you're everything in one. Right. So you need to be careful and diligent with your finances, because that is one of the most important aspects of your business that you would like to prosper and that you would like to grow. So learn to manage your business. Take classes, take math, financial accounting classes, so that you can learn basic accounting for your business. If you cannot take classes, find somebody who will teach you, or find somebody who can do these things for you, or that even if they can do it for you, don't make them do it by yourself, because this is how a lot of businesses fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have somebody who is taking over your finances and they're not doing it properly, and you're just in the back and you don't know anything that's going on, right? So if you do have somebody doing that, be there, sit there, learn from them, watch what they're doing. Be as much as part of your business as you want it to grow.
Very much. Very well.
Difficult things. What would I say? I would like difficulty. COVID. COVID was a big difficulty. I know that happened for a lot of people. And another thing, finances. Because when you're starting a small business, or when you're starting a business and you have no big collateral, or you have no big deposit, or, I mean, a lot of these banks and stuff like that will not give you a loan. So just try to save your money for that business so you can have a capital and you can make that business grow as you would like it to.
Very well said. What's next? Any plans of expanding?
What's next? I'm making that dress.
You see, that's well said. I'm not even gonna ask anyone.
Yes,
Tanel, please give people your Instagram handles and how they could get in contact with you.
Okay, well, my Myst is MYST. Myst. I spelled it with a Y instead of a I because again, I like to be different. MYST.SLU. I have my Tempted Goddess. Tempted.Goddess. That's on Instagram, and you can find me on Facebook, Tanel George. And if you would like to ask any questions or make an order with Miss, get your boo guy a tray, a set for Christmas, you can contact me at 717-9987.
Definitely. Tanel, thank you so much for being with us and our guest this afternoon on Youth Unplugged. And we wish you all the best in your endeavors. All right. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
All right. And of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank that you need.